Just recently in Stellarton, we have been taking up the books of Peter, and we've been going through just recently the first chapter of 2 Peter, which I think is very practical for all of us. And with the Lord's help, just for a little while, I wonder if we could take a look at it. 2 Peter chapter 1, and Jonathan, you're going to have to forgive me. You've probably heard some of these things before, but I think it's good for all of us. 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace be and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that with these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. I won't read any more than that for now, but here was Peter. I would take it he was much later in life than he was when he wrote the first epistle. And he was very concerned because the Lord had told him back in John 21 that the day was going to come when he was going to be taken and he would be, he'd have to give himself up as a martyr for the Lord Jesus. The Lord had told him that. And he felt that the time was rapidly approaching that he was going to leave those dear saints. And because he was going to leave them, he felt that he wanted to remind them of what he had said to them and that they wouldn't forget. Because, you know, all of us here, we've been presented the truth all our lives, most of us here. And yet, how easy it is to forget. You know, there are some young people that I remember when I was younger that were brought up in meetings like this, and they heard the truth presented to them. But where are they today? They've left. They've gone off. They've forgotten what they've heard. And I think this was the burden of Peter, that he wanted them to remember what he had given to them. And it isn't my exercise in a short time to go into every detail here, but you'll notice he says in the very first verse, he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. You know, he was very conscious of the fact that the Lord had left him to be a servant, to serve him, the Lord Jesus, in seeking to be a help to others. And of course, he was an apostle. He had that authority. But the big burden was that he was a servant. And you know, the Lord had wanted him to feed his sheep. And that was Peter's responsibility, to feed the sheep. And so that's what we find him doing here. And he says, he's writing to those who have obtained like precious faith. You know, those people he was writing to were believing Jews. And they had known all about the law and what it demanded. But you know, in contrast to that, he talked about precious faith. And how wonderful. You know, I think that precious faith is not something to be taken individually, specifically here. I think he's talking about all the truth that has been presented to us. It was precious to him. And he wanted the saints to go on in it. And so we find here, he talks about precious faith. We've often enjoyed, haven't we, that Peter talks 7 times about things that are precious. And we won't take time to go into them, but look for them yourself in 1st and 2nd Peter. 7 times he talks about precious things. And then it says here, going down briefly, it says in the 3rd verse, according to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Isn't that wonderful? Peter here, through the Spirit, is saying, look, dear saints, the Lord has given you everything you need for the Christian pathway. According to his divine power, he's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. There's no excuse. All that we need to know, all that we need to enjoy, is found right here in the Word of God. And Peter is telling them this. And not only has he given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, but it says in the 4th verse, he's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And so, as I said before, we have no reason to be to have excuses for not having what we need, because not only has he given us all those things that pertain to life and godliness, but he's given us those exceeding great and precious promises. I've enjoyed this, that in the new translation by Mr. Darby, the word great is greatest. He's given us exceeding greatest and precious promises. In other words, I remember Mr. Hayhoe years ago. Most of you wouldn't remember Harry Hayhoe, but he used to say that every blessing that God has given is a mountain peak beyond which God could not go. It's a mountain peak. And so these exceeding great and precious promises he's given us, what kind of promises? He's promised to give us the Holy Spirit. Every one of us here who knows the Lord as Savior has the Spirit of God within, don't we? And he's promised us to go to him with all our difficulties as our great high priest. And he's promised us a home in the glory. He's promised us so many things. They're certainly exceeding great and precious promises. And that's what we find here. And then it goes on and says, why has he done this? That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Of course, every one of us here who know the Lord as Savior, we are partakers of the divine nature. He's given us eternal life. The very life that God has, he's given to us. But you know, he wants us to manifest this in our lives. That's really what he's saying here, that he wants us to partake in such a way that we really appreciate what he has given. And so he says, these might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so we know that in this world, there's a tremendous amount of corruption, isn't there? And we have to acknowledge that even in our old natures, there's those things that can easily come in and corrupt. But the Lord in His goodness has preserved us. And Peter wants to see these dear saints to go on, separate from all these things, and to enjoy what He is, what the Lord has given. And then he says here, going on to verse 5, besides this, giving all diligence. We were noticing in Stellarton recently the importance of this verse. Diligence. Peter is going to talk now about various things, and they take effort. They take, I don't know how else to describe it, but we need to be diligent in the things that he's mentioned. He's talked about faith, of course, that precious faith that he have. But then he describes seven things that he wants to add to your faith. It's not exactly adding. You know, I believe that these various things that are mentioned here that follow, let's just take a look what they are first. First of all, it says virtue, and then it says knowledge, two, temperance, three, patience, four, godliness, five, brotherly kindness, six, and divine love or charity, seven. So there are seven things there that Peter brings before us that he wants, can I say, in our faith. And I believe that in every one of us, we have the seeds of all these things. But what Peter wants is to see these things manifest in our lives. You know, someone has given the illustration this way, that if you take an apple tree in the spring, a blossom comes out. But latent in that blossom is an apple. How does the apple come to be? Well, there has to be sunshine. There has to be rain. There has to be the nutrients in the soil. And all these things combine to create that apple. And so there are those things that the Lord would see in our lives that we have brought out here that can bring blessing if we use diligence to seek to go on in these things that are mentioned. So it mentions, I might just say this, that there was a man many years ago that said to his son, he summarized these various things this way, and I sort of enjoyed it. I think I can remember just how it goes. He said, "You want the courage of David and the knowledge of Solomon and the patience of Job and the godliness of Daniel and the brotherly kindness of Jonathan and the love of John." I sort of enjoyed that. It was a sort of a way of summarizing these various things that are mentioned. And so the first one is virtue. And what is virtue? Someone has described it spiritual courage. Spiritual courage. And we were noticing in Stellarton, and I've enjoyed this, we have some examples of spiritual courage. In what way can we think about it? Well, you know, it takes courage to stand up for the Lord and to do those things that we know we should do, because the enemy is always trying to bring in things to keep us from doing what the Lord would have us to do. And, you know, I think we have one good example of it in the story of Ruth, don't we? Let's just take a look for a moment at Ruth. It was mentioned earlier meetings, I think, about Ruth. But you remember in the very first chapter, Ruth and Orpah, they were married to Naomi's sons, and the sons died. and famine, things weren't going very good for Naomi, and she decided that she was going to go back to Bethlehem, to Israel, where she had come from. And so her two daughters-in-law, they say, Naomi, we're going to go with you. And Naomi says, no, 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 you don't want to go with me. You stay here in Moab. And, you know, Orpah listened to what her mother-in-law said. But Ruth, she didn't. Notice what Ruth said. She said, well, we'll read from verse 14. And Orpah and Ruth lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return you after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and my God, thy God, my God. In other words, Ruth had that spiritual courage to do what she knew the Lord would have her to do. Even though her mother-in-law was trying to push her to go back to Moab and those idols, she said, Naomi, I'm going to go with you to the house of bread, to back to Bethlehem. And so that's what they did. She had spiritual courage. One other example we were noticing, too, is in Samuel. Samuel chapter, it's the story of the rebellion of Absalom against David. And I think it's the 15th chapter of 2 Samuel. Just look at another case of spiritual courage. And I was thinking especially David here was rejected by Absalom. He was forced to flee. And we see in verse 19, David beginning to leave Jerusalem and leave behind the throne and so on. And notice what it says in verse 19. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to your place and abide with the king, for you are a stranger and also an exile. Whereas you came but yesterday, should I this day make you go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return now and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And so here was Ittai. He was, I would think, from the Philistines. We're not told exactly. But he had come to Jerusalem, and he threw in his lot with David, even though David was rejected. And, you know, David says to him, look, Ittai, you just came here the other day. You should just go back and stay in Jerusalem with those who are there. You don't have to come with me. But what did Ittai say? Oh, he said, David, I'm yours. I want to stay with you. I want to share in your rejection. And whatever David said, he wouldn't listen. He wanted to stay with David. In other words, he had affection for David. And you know, if we love the Lord will have us to stay with him and be encouraged by him. And so it takes spiritual courage. Sometimes it means standing up and turning aside from what we know is wrong and following on. Well, that's virtue. And then it says knowledge. You know, virtue is fine. Courage is great. But if it's not done in accordance to the Word of God, it's not worth anything, is it? We need to go by the Word of God. Knowledge is important. Wisdom is important. But it has to be in view of what the Word of God says. And so knowledge is mentioned. And then it says temperance. And that's a word that it's sort of hard to define. I like the name, or like to use the word self-control. And, you know, that's something that I think all of us need to deal with, self-control. You know, we need discipline in prayer, don't we? We need to take time to pray. Young people, you spend time on your knees in the morning and in the evening. And not just in the morning and the evening, but, you know, in every detail of life, we need to look to the Lord. You remember Nehemiah, when he was before the king, he just made a two-second prayer. And that's what we need to do. Be willing to take time to pray to the Lord about all the details in our lives. Like our brother brought before us, we don't want to do our own will. We want to do what the Lord's will is. So we need to have discipline in prayer and discipline in reading the Word of God. I think that's been mentioned here at the conference. We need to spend time in the Word. If you just read for 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening, you're not going to grow in your soul. You need to spend time over the Word. You got to think about it. You got to meditate on it. And so we need to have discipline in reading the Word of God. And then another place where we need discipline is curbing bodily appetites. You know, there are certain things that your natural self likes to do. And I'm not going to specify what those things are. But we all know we have natural lusts, desires to do things that really aren't pleasing to the Lord. But we need to learn to curb those natural desires. And so it takes self-control, doesn't it? And it takes discipline in our lives. Another one perhaps we could think of is that we need discipline in seeking to have a sacrificial life and follow Him. And so it mentions here self-control or temperance. And then it goes on and says patience. And patience, of course, we know the great example of patience in the Word of God is Job. And we know that Job had a very difficult life. He honored the Lord. He lived a righteous, upright life, and yet look at all the terrible things that happened to him. He lost his family, he lost his home, he lost his business, and then he was covered with boils from head to toe. He certainly had a lot of things happen to him. And you know, there are times in our lives that the Lord allows things. I'm sure none of us have ever gone through what Job had to go through. And I know, but we do have difficulties. Our brother was talking about the difficulty in connection with his wife. And so we go through these things. But what does the Lord want from us? He wants us to persevere. He wants us to keep on. You know, Job's wife, she said to him, give up and curse God and die. That's what she said to him. But he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to leave it with the Lord. And that's what we need to do. And so we need to persevere. And so we have that with patience. And then godliness. And I think godliness really means God-likeness. You know, the Lord wants us to represent Him in this life. Do we seek with the Lord's help to be a bright light for the Lord? How do we do that? You know, I've enjoyed the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know it as well as I do, but I just mention it again. It says there in the last verse of 2 Corinthians 3, sorry. It says, we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. even as the Spirit of the Lord. So how do we become Christ-like in our lives? It's by being in the presence of the Lord, looking to Him. And the more we look to Him, the more we are occupied with Him, the more we become like Him, like Him. And so how important is godliness is. And then it says, godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, I think, will just bring before us the fact that we should love our dear brethren. We should be willing to do things for them and encourage them. And in the assembly where you are, what are you doing to seek to be a help and an encouragement to the saints there? It's so important. And so that's brotherly kindness. And then, of course, we have, finally, divine love or charity. That's showing a Christ-like attitude, not just to our brethren, but to all those people that we meet. The Lord would have us to manifest Christ to them. And, you know, sometimes it means loving the unlovable, loving the unlovable. But divine love allows us to do that. And so he says here, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Think of this little margin, the word barren says idle. At the beginning of this little exhortation, Peter said, you've got to take diligence to do these things. You've got to work at it. And now he says, if you don't do it, you're just being idle. And you're going to be unfruitful. You're not going to accomplish anything in your lives for the glory of the Lord Jesus. And so he's reminding them here how important it is. And then he goes on and says, he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. You know, Peter himself, he knew what he was talking about. Because you remember how he said to the Lord, Lord, though everybody will give up on you and go their own way, I never will. I will always be faithful to you. I'm even willing to give my life over to you. That's what he said. Little did Peter know. The Lord had to say to him, Peter, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me three times. In other words, he was blind to the fact that he was going to fail the Lord if he got his eyes off him. And so it says here, he's blind, cannot see afar off or short-sighted, and has forgotten. It's even possible for a person to forget that they're purged from their old sins. Well, what Peter wants is for all of us to have an abundant entrance into the glory. He brings that out in the 17th verse. He says, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, there's a day coming when the Lord is going to reward everything that is done for Him and is done for us. We will praise Him and we'll thank Him for all that He has done for us all along life's pathway. But He wants us to have an abundant entrance. And so that's what He says here. And so may the Lord allow us to be diligent in seeking to allow these things to come into our lives, or at least be manifest in our lives, is what I want to say. That there might be that abundant entrance, because very soon we're all going to be caught up to be with the Lord. I think all of us realize the Lord's coming is very, very near. May the Lord allow us to be diligent in seeking to manifest these Christian traits until the Lord comes.